Tuesday. This ain't top five Thursday. This ain't top five Friday. This is a top five Tuesday. And we're doing SNL cast
tomorrow for top five Wednesday, though.
Yeah. That's good. That's going to be another top five. This one was so good, we had to stretch it 2 days.
You could do an entire week on this.
I was going to say, it was hard picking five out of the millions of cast members that have been on SNL. The millions of successful cast members.
It was hard picking a top five, but then it was even harder to put them in an actual top five.
Yeah.
So, all right. So I'll start things off because I think you guys went first the last couple weeks. So my number five is going to be... Okay, so my list also is not based on characters that I haven't seen before. Like I look back in history and stuff like that, and I was like, okay, well, these guys are great, but they weren't a part of my SNL, like my SNL journey. You know, they are actual legends, but they didn't affect me as much as like their movies did, because I grew up on movies of you know, Dan Aykroyd and stuff like that, but I didn't watch him on SNL.
Yeah.
Right. So I didn't add those people to my list.
Fair enough.
So, so my number five is going to be Andy Samberg.
Nice.
He's such a wacky character in everything that he does. And I just loved everything he was in. He's always so funny. And my favorite parts of, this is going to be something that I repeat, multiple times probably on this list, is I love the fact when people break character, and he broke character so much and like laughed and just kind of like tried to cover it up. And to me, that was sometimes funnier than the actual jokes that they were delivering.
Yeah.
So he definitely makes my list. He's one of my favorites. So that's my number five. Kev?
My number five is one of the longest cast members that was on SNL, and that's Kenan Thompson. Kenan Thompson, I wanted to put him higher on the list, but once again, I took the Doug approach to this, where I don't have one favorite, Wednesday.
This was a goddamn top five list. It's not just five favorites. You got to do the hard work. You got to rank them. You have to you got to put in the work, Kevin.
But Kenan Thompson has been unbelievable. I mean, it feels like he went straight from all that on Nickelodeon right to SNL. Like, and he's been in the business for over 30 years as far as like...
He's been on SNL for over 30 years, it feels like.
No shit. And like, the dude's been fantastic. I mean, he's played some funny characters. He's been a great support character. I wish him all the best now that he's not doing SNL and he's doing his own thing. But man, yeah, like one of the skits that still sticks with me today, and the song gets stuck in my head, is "Ooh wee, what's up with that? What's up with that?
Yeah,
it's so good. Jason Sudeikis dancing in the background, like it was just such like that. I mean, like that era of cast was fantastic as well.
Fucking think about Jason Sudeikis.
That's what I'm saying. There's so many. Yeah. He was on my list and he was taken off for a couple reasons, like for a couple different other folks. But
For a couple reasons. Yeah, that one.
Couple
time,
reasons. He's too good for the list.
The thing that he did, he got canceled. So,
I mean, he got renewed for two more seasons of Ted Lasso.
Oh yeah, you're right. My bad. He didn't get canceled.
No,
Doug. That's my number five.
So kind of like Jer, mine are a lot more like recent cat. I say recent, some of these people haven't been on the show in like 10 years, but like that group of people like in the 2000s, mm-hmm. from like maybe like 99 through 2010, like there was like a solid fucking cast right in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so my number five, and also I also thought about people and like the work they did after SNL, like mm-hmm. people that went on and like had a lot of really great content and stuff afterwards. So my number five is Tina Fey.
Mm. Yeah, such a huge influence.
Weekend updates were always so fucking good. And then, yeah, I think she's had a great career even following some of her TV shows, like Kimmy Schmidt, 30 Rock.
Mean Girls.
Yeah, I mean, like, she's had a great career after, and endearing. And like, you go back and watch some of those older clips and stuff of like, when she was on the show, she's fucking smoking. Jesus Christ, Tina Fey was hot as hell.
Mm-hmm. I mean, she still is.
I mean, she still is, but like, I don't, you know, she's a good looking lady. And it's crazy because she was one of those people that was like a writer on the show, and then they stuck her on Weekend Update. And then, you know. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's also what they've done with Colin Jost and oh my God. Michael Che, is that they're head writers for the show, and they put them on Weekend Update.
Yep.
Okay. My number four is a current member of the cast. Well, and is she still a member? I think, she is. Kate McKinnon.
Yes.
Yeah, she's still a current member. I don't feel like... So, while she has, like, the ability to transform into these absolutely ridiculous, wild characters... I think if you put her characters up against anybody, you're not going to find someone with more just ridiculousness. One of my favorite SNL skits ever is the abduction skits.
Yes, she's like that rednecky trash lady.
Yeah, she's like, and she has the most, like, and she delivers everything without laughing.
Like, straight, yeah.
She is just so stone cold with her delivery. And everyone else is just like losing it, and she's still there talking about her vajayjay, like getting fucking worked on by these and worked over by these aliens.
Yeah, so. Yeah, and just acting like it's like the most play she's had in like decades, and it's like, you know, I wish they'd call me back. <I'm> like,
So she's absolutely fantastic. I love her. So she's my number four.
Nice. My number four is Jer's number five, and that's Andy Samberg. He was hilarious, and he also introduced a lot of the. I don't think this was done before Andy Samberg, but with those SNL like pre-tape skits. The pre-tape skits were done, but yeah, the SNL shorts. And like doing all the Lonely Island stuff, and really, I mean, Lonely Island. They were born on SNL. Really, I mean, like they started those songs and they became huge on SNL, and then they come out, you know, with their own albums since then. But yeah, you're right. And everything he's done has been hilarious. Even like, and then going on to do Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I mean, the guy's funny. Very entertaining. Like, but like I said, he was such a good on the writing aspect. He was a great part of that team because they wrote some really, really funny skits and really smart skits. And getting shit like, once again, getting Natalie Portman to rap. Like, things you wouldn't expect at that time. You were not expecting Natalie Portman to go out there and just be like, fuck my critics.
Have you seen his new movie? Palm Springs?
I have not.
Oh, you should. It's really, really good. So good. It came out last year. It's on Hulu or on Plexes across America.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, he's a great choice.
My number four is Amy Poehler.
Nice.
Damn. I don't know how she didn't make my list.
Yeah. The Weekend Update duo of Tina Fey and Amy Poehler was fucking just gold. It was so good. And you got Parks and Rec and all this other stuff that she's done after, and on all of her like writing credits for like other like movies and TV shows and stuff. She's hilarious. And also like her little guest stint on Arrested Development is fucking hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah. Job's wife, ex-wife.
Like they met and then got married like the same night.
Yeah.
And then like their whole like divorce thing, and then her whole character sets up the loose seal that bites off Buster's hand. Like
loose seal, yeah, I know.
You tell my mother I'm in the ocean. No, Lucille. Yeah, that's my mom.
good times. I love Arrested Development.
Fucking funny.
Jerry, you'll have to watch it one day.
No, such a good fucking show. So that's a show that will make a joke in season one. And by like season four, you're like, they're still doing this joke. It's still fucking funny. And then, and like,
still paying off.
Or it'll pay off in like season two or something. Like, you go back and watch, they allude to Buster losing his hand in the first season, and it does not happen until like season two.
Yeah.
Like, and it, like, but there are subtle jokes here and there about like his hand and just in seals. Like, there's so many fucking, like, just they lay the groundwork so fucking early. It's wild.
But, Buddy Hale.
Yeah. Amy Poehler. She is great. And also another one of those characters where smoking hot. Wet Hot American Summer.
The series and the movie.
Yeah.
I love the series. It's supposed to be a prequel and everyone's much older.
Yeah, 10 years older.
And they're all doing flashbacks. It's a good parody of like the 90s romance, the teen romance movies where everyone's already in their 30s.
Yep.
My number three is also smoking hot, Bill Hader.
Nice. That's a good pick, man.
That's my number three also.
Ah, nice. Yeah, I cannot. Going back to saying that he's the king of breaking character, which he made it an art. I absolutely love him. Stefan on Weekend Update was absolutely the best. And then he did the Muppet scene where they were doing Muppet class and he had the war vet, Grenada. And like, the Muppet would smoke. It's fucking shit, man. Like, I just want to go back and watch it now.
Yeah.
Dude, he's so fucking funny. And like his, he would do the Dateline the guy, whatever that guy's name
is.
The old guy from Dateline.
Gus or whatever.
Yeah. And it was always, dude, his impressions are always really good.
Yeah.
His Clint Eastwood was really good.
Yeah. Lorne Michaels is really good.
He reminded his face, the way he was able to shape his face with characters and things that he did, reminded me a lot of Jim Carrey with the way that he was able to transform completely into a new person just by. Just by morphing his face, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it was really good. What I didn't know is that he, like, I was listening to an interview with him. He was on, like, I think it was Sam Jones or somebody. But he actually, SNL, like, wrecked him. He has so much anxiety that he was a mess every single time. Like, every episode, he almost was like, I can't do this. I can't do this. I have to quit. I cannot go out there. I cannot. Like, it was really heavy until he actually went out there and did the skit. And that show made him an emotional wreck. He was like, I couldn't do it anymore. Wow. He said he hated doing the show because he had that much anxiety.
Yeah. We'll talk about, like, because John Mulaney was a writer while he was on the show, and John Mulaney would write the Stefan jokes and stuff, but he talked about how he liked, he liked doing Stefan because they would write the jokes and then they'd do rehearsal and then they'd go out there and Mulaney would change the joke on the cue card. And so that's why he breaks character so much as Stefan, is because he'd go out there and he'd have to read some like wild vulgar shit that Mulaney came up with like right off the spot and wouldn't tell him, and it would just like stuff like that was fun, like working with Mulaney and
I was gonna say it's funny that Mulaney was the guy that did it. Like, somebody who would think would be more wholesome, I guess. But.
Yeah, well, John Mulaney, yeah. Oh, no. John.
Yeah, he can write some jokes.
Dude, yeah. Yeah.
Well, awesome. My number three, since you guys had the same, was Kate McKinnon. I mean, for all the same reasons you guys gave, I mean, she's hilarious, able to play almost anyone. And it's rare when she does break character, but when she does, it's really funny. Like, it's something that's so funny that even she can't, like, handle. Just, man, yeah, having her, the different characters she played on Weekend Update. One of my favorite ones, the bar scene, where she's always making out with somebody and they're both disgusting. And the bartender's like, it's always Kenan. It's always Kenan Thompson. He's like, oh, come on, man. Oh, this is gross. Can you guys take it somewhere else? It's just stuff like that. Like Kate McKinnon, yeah, she's able to go, and like her Hillary Clinton character is just spot on. Like, and just everything, man. Like I said, I think she's very underrated as far as like comedians go. Like, I think I can't wait to see what she does more, like in movies and everything these days. You know, she seems like she's doing fantastic. So
that's
my number three.
She was great in Yesterday. That was the movie that had that was about a guy who went to bed and woke up and nobody ever heard of the Beatles. So he started re-recording the Beatles songs, and she played as his manager. So she did really, it was really good in that one.
So okay.
You should watch that as well. That was a good movie. Okay. My number two is going to be probably one of the biggest stars of all time of comedy movies, which is Will Ferrell.
That's my number two also.
That is my number two as well.
Trifecta. What do I win?
Oh, there you go. You win the fact that you get to talk about Will Ferrell first.
Okay. Yeah. Well, Will Ferrell, what can you say about him that hasn't already been said? Like, he is so iconic. He has brought so much life to that show, and he led the charge of that whole, like, early 2000s cast.
Yeah, that whole era.
Late 90s, early 2000s.
He defined it from... I own a Ford Taurus. I am important. having that famous scene with Jim Carrey in the pool. Sir, you cannot do lap. Oh no, he's like, it's lap time, sir. And he in the spa, and he's like giving him mouth to mouth. Can you hear me?
Oh god. There's been some, yeah, he's done some questionable skits with people. there was a worm episode or a bird episode where him and Tom Green were feeding each other food through their mouths. It was just, it's, man, they did some fucked up shit. Like, Will Ferrell was down to do whatever.
To more cowbell. Off. More cowbell. Even when, I forgot the name of the school, but when they were when he did the cheerleaders, when he was a part of the cheer squad.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's everything he has done has just been gold, and that goes for going into movies. And I actually got really sad about it too, because when I was putting the list together yesterday, I was just like, fuck, he's so old now.
He's not that old. He's like in his 50s,
but he's so old. It's just different. Like, it's just a different, like, going back and watching old clips is just a different era and stuff. Like, he's very much like calmed down nowadays, but it's just weird. It's weird to think about, like, that was so long ago that now he has all gray hairs and, you know,
and grown weird. Children at this and point. Remember the children. Videos he used to film for Funny or Die,
yeah.
Where mm-hmm. he's like, his daughter was like a landlord. Like, mm-hmm. that was adorable. And like, she's probably like a full guy's grown adult at this point.
No, she's still a child.
No,
still the same age. Yeah, Where my money? Those skits were so good. Like, even that, like, he, after he left SNL, he went to go do like Funny or Die and on the many movies he's done. Mm-hmm. Pretty good dude. Pretty good stuff.
So that's my number two. Kev, what's your number two?
That's all of our number two.
I know.
Yeah,
I know.
Everybody.
So does anyone have anything else to add to Will Ferrell?
Oh, he's just iconic. I mean, yeah, he's done so much. Did you guys see so Conan recently ended his TBS late night run.
Yep.
Did you see Will Ferrell's appearance?
I guess
he was filming something in New York, so he couldn't actually be there, or Atlanta. I don't remember where he was. So he called in and he was like, he's like, I prepared a couple of words, for what is probably your, 15th late night show that you're leaving? And he was like, so I just, to save some time, I wrote some for other projects that you're definitely going to be leaving eventually. And so he starts, he's reading these like farewell letters for, and like it, the quality of show that he's writing for just continuously drops, like whatever it is. And by the end, like the last one's like Conan, you've done this YouTube gaming channel for the last 25 years. And you're just like, oh, so fun. Like one of them's like, he's like the host of like a bachelor show at some point. I highly recommend going and finding that clip. It's so funny how he just like bags on Conan for 10 minutes.
I'll have to watch
that. Very, very funny. Very worth it.
Okay. So we've come to number one, and I'm very interested to see how different our number ones are. My number one is somebody who I absolutely love dearly, who I tried to be like in physical. I loved his physical comedy. He went on to make four of the most, in my mind, iconic movies that a comedian can make. It was just a lovable man who everybody loved and his brother killed. Chris Farley.
Adam Sandler. Oh.
I know.
You said four iconic movies, so I thought it was like Happy Gilmore, Billy Madison, Big Daddy.
And Click.
And Click. No, and Bedtime Stories. And Grown-Ups.
Punch Drunk Love.
Little Dicky. I mean, Little Nicky.
Oh. Okay. So, but Chris Farley, yeah. That's your number one?
That's my
number one. My number one is also Chris Farley.
Is it? Yay!
Yeah.
He really meant so much to me as growing up because I just loved his energy, and I feel like I connected with that because my energy was just as high. And you know, I, as a chubby teen, I just was like, I feel for him. I'm just like him. And then his characters that he portrayed, he's how lovable he's always been. And then he went on to do his movies that I just were always on repeat for me. Always. Mm-hmm. I just loved him, and I was so sad. There's only two like probably celebrities that I really like teared up at over their death, and Chris Farley was one of them. And I was young when it happened, and I was just like, man, that's fucking sucks. So yeah, he's still a comedic legend. So he's my number one. Kev?
Like I said, Chris Farley, man. I mean, he was amazing. And he did like a lot of Second City stuff in Chicago. So, I mean, like Chicago was really bummed when he passed. I mean, he died at the Sears Tower or the Hancock, whatever. You know, he had a condo.
It's one of those. Herbie Hancock.
The Hancock.
Get it? He did that joke.
But like, yeah, I mean, for all the reasons Jer said, I mean, like Tommy Boy was amazing. He was a very funny physical actor. He was able to, I think he was able to make anyone crack. Like if, you know, on SNL, it seemed like that was a thing that the actors did, that the cast tried to get themselves to like break character. And Will Ferrell was good at it, but Chris Farley was the best. Like, it seems like he would just knock anyone. Just like I said, he would just take, he would own any room he was in. He was loud. He was boisterous, but he was also funny. And I miss him too. And it was a bummer because before Mancow, the radio DJ went all weird shock jock and shit. Like he and him and Chris Farley were good friends. And so he was really bummed after the passing, and he put like a really beautiful tribute out right afterwards. And I mean, that was probably the last I've listened to Mancow was back when he actually had some nice things to say about people. And Chris Farley was one of them. So bummer, but one of the best.
Mm hmm.
Doug,
your my number one is not Chris Farley.
And that's okay.
Now, mine is one that's already been mentioned, Andy Samberg, for all the reasons that you guys mentioned. I did not care for him for a while because I found his energy to be annoying at times. But you cannot deny the digital shorts and the Lonely Island shit that he would bring to SNL every fucking week.
Yeah.
And the level of just quality, like they try to do some of that now with like Pete Davidson and stuff. And it's just like, not as good. Like, where's my Lonely Island digital shorts shit? I mean, like, that was like 100% what their albums were just the music they would create for the digital shorts. And yeah, like you said, getting Natalie Portman to do this like pissed off, like anger rap right around the time of like V for Vendetta or whatever it was that she was promoting at the time. Like, it was eye opening for like so much of so many of us who knew her from like the movies that she was doing around that time. You know, she Star Wars, and then that really shitty movie, that rom-com, like I think she was like a pregnant teenager in a Walmart or some shit in one movie or some crap, I don't remember. But then like V for Vendetta, and then that, and it was just like, holy shit, this chick's a fucking badass. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And then I'm getting Michael Bolton to do a song with them. Oh, like,
God.
About Jack Sparrow.
So I still remember the first digital short that I remember seeing with them, and that was the oh shit, what was it? It's the one where they go to the movies. It's the when they're like red vines and Mr. Pibb equal crazy delicious. Oh shit, what was that about?
Yeah. Yeah, well, and then like the one with Justin Timberlake. Dick in a Box.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
Dick in a Box, and then the Mother Lover, and then like, dude, this is so fucking good. And then yeah, he's had a great career post that with like the movies and TV shows that he's behind, and not just like Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I don't know if you guys watched Pen 15 on Hulu. Mm-mm. It's produced by Andy Samberg and the Lonely Island crew or whatever, and it's
makes sense.
And it is, I think there's two seasons out. It's about these two girls in middle school, but the two actresses who are playing, I guess, the younger versions of themselves are like 30 years old. But they're in middle school as like middle school age girls. So it's these two like adult. It reminds me of Kids in the Hall, not Kids in the Hall, Strangers with Candy.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And like that. The you're an adult woman. Of course, her character was also an adult woman, but like, so you have these two women around all these actual middle school age kids. But and it's just so fucking funny. It takes place like in the 90s, so it's like right around the time like I was in middle school. So like they're all on like AOL Instant Messenger and like setting their away statuses and shit, and like the like, what does it mean? What does it mean? Like, what do these song lyrics mean or whatever, right? It's just so fucking funny and cringy, but it's the, I don't know, just the stuff that his projects and stuff, I've always been really good. And so I've like come to like appreciate like him as, even his time on SNL, because like his digital shorts were just fucking fire.
It was so good. It was called Last Sunday. And it was about the Chronicles of Narnia.
Look, that's the one that they used that one. They parodied that on The Office.
I don't remember.
Because it'd be the Chronicles of Narnia, and it'd be like the Electric City, Scranton, the Electric City, or whatever. It was they in The Office. They parodied that fucking SNL short. Like, because Michael Scott thought it was, oh, look at this hip new thing that's happening. Like, let me make it about fucking Dunder Mifflin.
Yeah, that was the first time. But yeah, I love Andy.
Yeah, because instead of the Chronicles, what of Narnia, it'd be like Scranton, what the Electric City. It was so fucking stupid.
All right, that's our top five lists. I'm sure that it's going to be hotly debated on the Discord. So if you aren't a part of that, go get a part of that and hang out with us, talk with us, and share your top five lists. Tomorrow we got What's Up Wednesday, and we'll talk about some of the latest happenings around the world in gaming, movies, and more. So until then, I'm Jeremy.
Doug.
Kevin. Yeah,